New evidence that rethinking healthcare in America is really hard. I'm David Brancaccio. First, to ways the Georgia election results could affect the pace of spending and stimulus and recovery in this new year. The runoff Senate races are set to be squeakers. David Kelly is chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds.
If the Democrats win these two seats, then they're able to set the Senate agenda, and that means that they'll be able to pass or at least bring to the floor legislation they want to pass. And that's really been pretty key here. If you put legislation in front of senators and congressmen essentially to cut taxes or increase spending, they'll do it. And so I think if the Democrats win, then I think you do get more stimulus and probably a faster economic recovery during 2021.
So a late night for you tonight watching election returns?
Yes, although it could stretch into tomorrow. It's going to be very, very close. But I do think that we should recognize that even if we do get more stimulus, I think a lot of other things that we need to change in the long run. How do you balance the budget? How do you actually increase taxes when you need to do so? How do you reform immigration? These tough questions, I don't think they're going to be answered by Washington either way. We are in an era of partisan populism, and that really makes it hard to make any tough choices in Washington.
All right, David Kelly. He's at JP Morgan Funds, the chief global strategist and an economist there. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
There was word that used to be said that would strike fear to the hearts of established players in America's healthcare system. The word was Haven, the name of a joint venture between three powerful firms to bring Silicon Valley-style positive disruption to the healthcare industry. But even the power of Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan Chase couldn't quite pull this off. The parties are pulling the plug on this Haven. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Haven was a sort of think tank set up to find ways to improve employee health care and lower costs, initially through technology solutions. But it plans to disband next month, saying the companies will move on separately to put to use what it learned, among them piloting new ways to make primary care easier to use and drugs more affordable. That's it from a project that, when announced in 2018, caused a sell-off in healthcare-related stocks on the notion that if anyone could hack rising healthcare costs, it would be the trio involved. But Haven had a tough task, among them designing across-the-board changes for three companies with workforces spread out throughout the country. And while those workforces totaled 1.5 million people, Haven's negotiating power was still dwarfed by an employer-based healthcare system covering 150 million workers. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
We're also covering the work that CVS and Walgreens are doing to get precious vaccine to long-term care facilities under contract with the feds. All of our fast-track coverage of the logistics and fairness issues of vaccine distribution is accumulating at marketplace.org.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think? Is it awful or kind of nice for adult children and or grandparents to live under one roof? Pandemic is changing perceptions of this in what could be a long-term shift. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has long been tracking this. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right, adult kids with parents, parents with grandparents under one roof. How common?
You know, the numbers are striking, David. The most recent numbers we have is 20%. Of the American population, you know, is living in this multi-generational household. And that's up from a low of 12% in 1980. So this living arrangement, it's moving from society's tributaries to the mainstream.
We covered this during the last recession. The adult kids in the basement or the attic, that was seen as kind of sad for both the parental units and the offspring.
Well, yeah, the tales of the boomerang generation or Generation Y bothered to move out of the house. I mean, these were really disturbing fallout stories from the Great Recession. But this commonplace discussion about generational dependency made it sound like the trend would pass when the recession ended. But the numbers kept rising, David. So the multi-generational home is a safety net, yes. But the bigger story is the compelling economics of multiple generations living under one roof.
All right, the bright side, the compelling part. I mean, I guess the kids could share out some childcare situation with the parents in return for cooking or, in my case, fixing the Wi-Fi router. That's what I would contribute.
Absolutely. And then as the parents get older, it makes elder care a lot easier. And because, look, the United States stands out. We don't have a national caregiving system. So people are creating their own system. And the other thing is, this economy has produced too few good-paying jobs in recent decades. So it makes sense for families, extended families, to pool resources to own and maintain a home. Plus, this long-term trend toward rising immigration in the United States, well, immigrants tend to live in multi-generational homes. So you take it all together, David, and it's a major trend.
All right. And pandemic accelerates the trend?
Absolutely. I mean, for one thing, none of the underlying economics has changed because of the pandemic. But what's more, the high death toll in these congregate living facilities, you know, nursing homes, assisted living centers, continuing care communities. Look, it's pushed many families to want to keep their aging loved ones at home for a longer period of time. And too many families watch their aging parents be lonely in these congregate living facilities. So the desire to live together is strong.
Okay. Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.